Today, I want to address a question that I was asked not long ago. I always intend to prepare my sermon based on questions or concerns that my brothers and sisters have. Sometimes, in this particular case, people came and say, well, I am a little bit confused about all this, the day of the Lord, the tribulation, the new the church age, the millennium, all these things. I don't know how all these things happen. I have an idea, but I don't really have it clear in my mind. So I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to try to clarify this. I will make today's preaching simple in order not to be confused of the terminology I will address. Basically, I will present the general view of believers, about the second coming of Jesus, because it is wise to know in order to be ready to provide an answer to those who ask, as it is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter encourages us, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The question was about the end times and the coming of the Lord. I am going to address this question from a biblical and historical Christian point of view, and how complicated can it be if we are not careful. It will be helpful for us to start, in my opinion, from the end. It's a funny way to start, from the end rather than the beginning, but you will know why I say this. In terms of how we are going to be after Jesus comes again, we tend to the one who can give us a reliable answer, Jesus. It was obvious that Jesus had this clear in his mind, and he knew how we are going to be in eternity. With the answer he gave to the Sadducees in Luke chapter 20, verse 27-38. You know the story, this story. So I am not going to read it, but I am going to explain the story. The Sadducees, contrary to the Pharisees, do not believe in the resurrection. So at that time of Jesus, when Jesus was talking to the Jewish nation, there were mainly four groups. There were the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, and the militants. The Essenes are the ones who, the writers. So I thought that the Sadducees knew they were trying to ask Jesus a tricky question. Listen, we don't believe in the resurrection, but we are going to ask you a question that we don't believe, but to see how you answer. The Sadducees asked Jesus what will happen after the resurrection, and in particular with marriage, specifically with someone who had many husbands. Their resurrection was a Jewish belief. In particular, the Pharisees believed that all those who were dead and were worthy will be raised from the dead. Jesus responded by telling the Sadducees the point that they should not expect that the age to come will be like at all like the present age. For example, Jesus implied in his answer in Luke chapter 20, verse 27-38, that relationships will be different. There will be no marriage as we know it. Husbands and wives will no longer be married in heaven as they were in earth, but that the children of the resurrection will be like angels. Like the angels, not angels, but like the angels. In the sense that they will no longer die. They will have a relationship with God and with each other. It will not be like it is in earth now, but they will live in harmony and in peace with each other. It is important that I say this because it is obvious, or it implies, that Jesus already knew what will happen all the time from every age. Those who were already dead in Christ will continue to have a relationship with God. So for them there is no death. For God we are always alive. In contrast, the explanation of life on earth will come to an end. There is another text in the scripture about how and when this will actually happen. I will try to create some kind of timeline, how it will happen, in order to understand how Christians believe how it will happen, rather than when it will happen. So my point will be how it will happen. I am not going to spend time when it will happen. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses, twice they said that the end was coming in the past, and it never came. So I am not going to say that. I am not going to say when it will happen, and I will explain to you why I am not going to say that. Well, the simple reason is I don't know. That's why I am not going to say that. For no one knows the answer to this. I am not going to be able to cover everything in depth or in big details. And you will see why. It's such a big topic. I think Andrew spent on heaven 4 weeks talking about heaven. However, I will encourage you to hold on of the fact that there is a resurrection. If you remember that there is a resurrection. As Jesus explains it quite clearly in Luke 20:35-36. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. Now, I would like to explain the meaning of the word worthy or worthiness, because we can get confused. It is like, oh, depends what I do. No, it doesn't depend on what you do. Worthy is the term used by Jesus, meaning those who have faith in Jesus. That's the meaning of worthy, that you have faith in Jesus. Because God is not limited by time, we cannot determine when. I don't know when. This actually will happen, but we should always live in expectation. We should always be prepared as much as we can. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. It is a challenge to us, all believers, on how we are to do in the present time. So let us see how, in general, Christians believe how this will happen, how we generally believe. Once again, I will keep this simple by mentioning every point in the order of the Christian general belief. how this will happen and know when this will happen. So if you have this in mind. The general Christian belief is that this will happen in this order. The church age, it is from the time of Jesus. The second will be the rapture. The rapture is the end of the church age. The tribulation. In the tribulation, there are three views. Probably there are some more about Christians. One is pre, post, and mid-tribulation, where almost everyone agrees that the almost in the tribulation, almost everyone will agree that there will be a 7 years tribulation or 7 years of persecution. Number four, the millennium. It implies 1,000 years of Christ as it is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, 6, and 5. And then, lastly, the new heaven and the new earth. This is the final chapter in eternity. You have more information in your handout if you wish to know a more detail of what happened or a summary of what happened in those sections. We are going step by step, briefing, explaining each step of what many brothers and sisters believe, and in each case, the different views. First, the church age. It is from the time of Jesus. The church age began with the coming of Christ, and it will end when all believers will be taken up from the earth, including those who put their faith in Christ and are already dead before Jesus returns. Many Christians have the belief the timeline for the end, according to the Bible, begins with the rapture at the end of the church age. So that's, many are confused. And I think it's because from the pulpit, we don't explain that too much. The only way we always learn all these things is during the week, during Bible studies, small groups. I have learned a lot in that way. But from the pulpit, most of the time, these things don't come up. Some people get confused if they don't attend Bible study or they read the Bible. At the end of the church age will begin the rapture. So at the end of the church age will begin the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, so you will not find this word in the Bible. But the meaning of it is, basically, Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, listen, death will not stop the loved ones to be with Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens. Death will never stop us to be with Jesus. Many Christians believe that the rapture is synonymous with the return of Christ. This is another, they get confused. So Christ will come with the rapture, and that's the end. But the Bible doesn't say that. Many Christians believe that the rapture is synonymous with the return of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16-17, Paul refers to the time when God will raise the dead in Christ, along with the righteous dead. They will be caught up together. The primary scripture passage on the rapture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13-18. It states that all living believers, along with all believers who have died, we will meet the Lord Jesus in the air and will be with him forever. Basically, the rapture is God's removing of his people from the earth. So he will remove everyone from the earth that belongs to him, that are living by faith. I would like to mention at this point, in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, we are reading 3 months apart. So let's say in January, Paul wrote Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, 3 months later, he wrote Second Thessalonians. And both were written because the believers were questioning Paul when the resurrection was going to happen. So they were confused, but, oh, I thought that the resurrection was coming now. And they were very upset. They were asking what has happened to our dear ones that are already dead. So that's why they were upset. So my dear ones are dead, but they are not resurrecting. They thought that Jesus Christ was coming when they were alive, the Thessalonians. It seems to me that they were confused because they assumed that Jesus will come in their lifetime. That's why Paul wrote Thessalonians 1 and 2. In the first letter of Thessalonians, Paul describes the rapture. Paul reminds the Thessalonians of the message of hope. Basically, Paul was telling the Thessalonians that death will not cut them from salvation or the glory that is to come. They were upset because of all the believers that have already died, especially under persecution. They thought that they were already in the tribulation. The next step, after the rapture, because of the persecution, they were suffering. Paul explained in his second letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, Paul tells them, listen, not to be alarmed. The day of the Lord's intervention in history will not take place until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is rebuked. So Paul is explaining to them, this is not going to happen until the man of lawlessness is coming. He will come. As it is in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, the man of lawlessness. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? The question for many Christians is, when is the rapture going to occur in relation to the tribulation? So that's a fair question. The timing of the rapture in relation to the tribulation is one of the most controversial issues in the church today. The three primary views are pre-tribulational. Some believe that the rapture will occur before the tribulation. Other Christians, for some reason or the other, they believe in mid-tribulational. Some believe the rapture occurs at or near the midpoint of the tribulation. And others, post-tribulational. Some believe that the rapture occurs at the end of the tribulation. So there are different views among Christians. Different views among our brothers and sisters. So we need to remember what the first passage I read. Do it with gentleness and respect. whatever your belief is. Don't force your belief on your brothers and sisters. Our next step is the tribulation, or what we call the day of the Lord, which I don't understand this, the tribulation, the day of the Lord. It doesn't make sense. The church age began with the coming of Christ, and it will end when all believers will be taken up from the earth, including those who put their faith in Christ and are already dead before Jesus returns. That will mark the start of what we call the tribulation. According to the Bible, the tribulation will be a 7 years. How do I know this? Well, in Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, there is a 7 year that is still yet to come. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is put on him. Terrible judgment will happen under the ruler of the Antichrist. Despite massive troubles, wars, famines, plagues, and persecution, many will come to know the Lord in Jesus Christ. But most will be persecuted because of their faith. At the end of the tribulation will be called the day of the Lord. It makes me wonder of the reason or reasons it is called the day of the Lord at the end of such tragedy and chaos. It is called the day of the Lord when we suffer all these troubles. It's a funny way to call it. As we reflect on this, I think it means that because all the believers have been taken from the earth, God is still at work through the Holy Spirit in the life of those who are not believers to bring them to the Lord and to be saved. So God is giving another chance to people. That is why it is called the day of the Lord. God wants to take everyone that have faith. So at the end of the tribulation, the 7 years period, Jesus will return to destroy the Antichrist and to bind up Satan for 1,000 years. This 1,000 years is another topic for many Christians. Some think it is 1,000 years, some think it is a long period of time, because in those days, they didn't have the Gregorian calendar, but they have the Jewish calendar, which was 13 months. So I guess it doesn't really matter what you think. In the tribulation, there will be no secret, because the whole world will be driven by evil. The day of the Lord, God's great intervention, will begin with the man of lowliness. The man of loneliness will be revealed, and the Antichrist and the rebellion will be unmistakable. And we are not going to miss it. Apparently, it will be a single event. The question is, are we there yet? I don't know. For the moment, the man of loneliness is being held back, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5-6. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time? So the man of loneliness, the Antichrist, has been held back. By who? Of course, Jesus is holding him, the man of loneliness, back through you and me. He's holding him back through you and me, Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say about the millennium? That's the next step. So the millennium. What does the Bible say about the millennium? The millennium is in short, those who have died during the tribulation and put their faith in Jesus Christ will be raised up, and Christ will reign for the next 1,000 years. This is what we call the millennium. It will be a long time. Revelation, as it is in Revelation 21:6. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss, and holding his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the work of God. They have not worshipped the beast or its image and have not received its mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. It is worth to notice that there are different millennium views by Christians, and you may refer to the handout for more information. Lastly is the idea of the new heaven and the new earth, as it is in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Christ will come after the millennium. After the millennium reign, the new heaven and earth will arrive, in which the world is transformed by the gospel. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan and the whole earth will be destroyed by fire in order to erase God's creation of its evil. God then will create a new heaven and a new earth, which will be inherited by all the believers, you and me. During the rapture, the tribulation, and during the millennium, there will be a resurrection of believers, sometimes, and this is unknown to us. I don't know when precisely, but I know it will happen. At this time, all believers will live in peace with God. The Bible mentions the new heaven and the new earth, both in the Old and the New Testament. It is in your handout. Now, finally, my landers. The reason we make an effort to know all these things is based in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's based in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. My Landas, we need to give an answer on what we know. We don't need to speculate. Paul does not encourage speculation about the date of the second coming. It will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Meaning, we need to be prepared all the time. As it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and days we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Sometimes my brothers and sisters want to argue with me that they know the time, they know what is going to happen. I say, that's fine, I don't know, sorry, I cannot help you. And that's the best way to deal with that. But somehow, some brothers and sisters, they enjoy arguing. They enjoy, I don't know why they do it. But they don't seem to enjoy life without an argument. And so, okay, that's fine. That's what you believe. Good on you. I don't know when it will happen. And they keep. Ah, my goodness me. And the important thing is that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. As it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Stand firm, my Landas, as it is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we pass on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Hold to your faith in Jesus, your only way to resurrection is your faith. There is nothing you can do, but your faith will take you to resurrection. Hold to the teaching of Scripture and Christ. Pray for one another and build one another up.